websites. Write down some websites, guys, to help determine what the market rent is in your area. Go to rentometer.com or rentometer.com, rentometer.com. Nationwide, it gives you a good idea, but be careful now.
Let me just add one more thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rentometer, I know it's a good site. It's spot on in some areas. Spot on in other areas. Not so good in other areas. Excuse me. If you really want to get an accurate barometer of a certain area, go to Craigslist for rent. Type in the zip code that you're looking at and start comparing apples to apples. It's just another way to get a market rent.
I was going to say, you can go look at Rentometer, but you can't rely on it.
Yeah.
Because only when you have buyers come in do you even know what your true rent's going to be. And my point out to you, when you're lease purchasing, you can almost always get more than straight rent. So just because a house will rent for $1,500, don't assume that's the maximum you're going to get. People are going to buy that house. They'll pay whatever they need to pay that they can afford to get in that house. That's why you don't ever want to be the first to name that rent. Right, another site you might want to go to is callfire.com. Callfire, just like it sounds. If you want to do texting to your tenants to drive them to the house, that's a site you want to use. It's about 3 cents a text, isn't it? And I think it's only 3 cents if it gets delivered, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. And another one, if you are collecting payments and making payments, you're probably going to want to go to escrowserve.com. This is a company that will nationwide collect lease option payments or incoming mortgage payments and pay out the seller, deposit the difference in somebody's bank account, sellers, and send both sides a annual statement at the end of the year. A great service, great service. In fact, when you get questions from your buyer or seller, well, how do I know if I paid rent, they're going to make my payment? You suggest, why don't we have a third-party escrow company collect it and make the payment for you? Plus, sellers love it because now they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's $50 to set it up, and it's $15 a month what your buyer pays. You put it right on to your buyer to pay it.
So cheap you can't afford not to in some cases, and sellers love it. Because it doesn't have to worry them with collecting payments. It just deposit it right to them.
Okay, I got two simple things here, and then we're going to take some more questions. So we figured out which ones we're going to take off of there. Item number one. You guys, when you register for this event, had a chance to buy this course in its hard form for $697 and get credit for the $194 that it cost to be on this event. Many of you took us up on that offer. For your information, this course sells for $9.97 every single day, and it's worth every bit of it. There's 10 CDs in here. This is a complete system business in a box. There's 11 CDs in here, actually, and a complete systems manual. And incidentally, this is way beyond ACTS. This includes sandwich lease options, ACTS, and options. It took 2 full days to record this course. You really need to have this in your portfolio. And it's $300 off, but more importantly, I gave you credit for $194 it cost you to be on here. So in reality, you're getting this course for about half price. But at 4 o'clock today, that offer is going to, it's 4 o'clock today, that offer is going to come down. That's 4 Eastern. You still can order this course if you haven't already done it by going to ronlegrand.com/CWO special, control without ownership special. That's ronlegrand.com/CWO special, and there's an additional $503 you pay, and we'll ship this to you if you paid the $194. And lastly, I'm doing something I've never done before here. I'm offering this only to people that were on this simulcast today, and I'm only going to take 20 of those. We're going to set up some time to have planning sessions with our students who are serious about moving forward with their business. And these planning sessions are going to last 30 minutes to an hour, depending on, frankly, your questions. And all you have to do to get on one of these sessions is to let us know. And you can do that at Ron's Planning Session. Is that plural or single? Ron'sPlanningSession.com. ronsplanningsession.com, and here's what it's about. When you go to that site, it's going to ask you to fill out an application. It's not that long either, and turn it in, and then I'll have somebody on my staff schedule this session. Now, all the information is on there. There's a letter that tells you exactly what we're going to do in this planning session, but in a nutshell, we're going to create a plan for you. Once I find out what you got to work with and what you want to do and your objectives, by the time we get off that call, we will create a plan for you over the next coming year on how you can reach those objectives. I'm very, very good at this. I've been doing it for a long, long time. For your information, I get $25,000 a day to consult, and I've done many of them for that. So this is free. I'm actually going to charge you a $100 deposit, but I'm going to give it right back to you after the planning session. And you'll see on the letter that if you don't think this thing is worth your time, I'll give you back double your money. So that's a pretty reasonable offer. Listen, I'm not going to sell you anything on this call. And the ones I can't take, I'll have some very qualified staff to take. But I intend to do as many of these as I can personally. This is about you. Now, when this planning session is over, I'm just telling you ahead of time, I'm going to ask you, do you feel like you need help? And if the answer is yes, then I'll give you what I think is best suited for you in the way of help. And we'll start from the top and work our way wherever you want to work based on your financial situation and your lifestyle and how fast you want to go and where you want to go. But there's absolutely no obligation. In fact, I'm not even gonna tell you about what we can do for you until you tell me that you want to hear about it. So go fill out the application. Now, I understand the application is not set up so they can fill in the blanks and submit it online, right, Nick? Not yet. Just couldn't get around to it, guys. So you've got to go get the application, print it out, fill it out, and then scan it, send it back, or just take a picture of it with your cell phone and send that back, as long as you make sure that we can read it. And then somebody from our office will be in touch with you. And I think that's pretty much all you need to know on that. Again, that's Ron. That's ronsplanningsession.com. And by the way, this offer is available till 5 o'clock today, Eastern Standard Time, not 4 o'clock. So once this day is over, both of those options have expired. All right, guys, what questions do we have that we can get in here? And what happens if we go past 3:30? Does the building go dark? Okay. All right, fire away.
All right, so Nicholas, what is the maximum non-refundable down payment you will accept to give the seller, parentheses, it comes from the buyer, of course, in high-end houses, like a $1 million house, 3%, 10%, question mark?
All right, I would say get that percentages out of your mind. That has nothing to do with this. What's the highest? What's your answer?
How much they got.
No, what's the highest we'll give the seller?
Well, I think it depends. Obviously, the price point is going to make a difference, and I think it's negotiable. I think, number one, you're going to find out from the seller what they want.
Right, $1 million house. We ain't letting anybody in less than 100 grand anyway, right?
Sure.
Okay, so here's that question. Is what if the seller wants 75 grand?
Well, in that case, I would probably agree to it at the beginning with the clear intent that we're going to take correct it. And then if we have a $100,000 buyer, can you live with 25 grand?
Here's how I'd handle it. I'd put it under contract for whatever he wants. I'd point blank tell him, he probably ain't going to get it. But let's see what we can have. We'll come back and find it out later. All right, now I come in with a $100,000 deposit. Here's what I'm going to tell him. I'm going to say, Mr. Seller, I got good news and I got bad news. Good news is I got a great buyer. He's got 100 grand to put down. And I feel very strongly he's going to buy your house and cash you out. Bad news is he's got 100 grand and you're only going to get half of it. And if we can't agree on that, I'm going to take this buyer with 100 grand and put him in another house.
Yeah, I like that. I like the split a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I think it's very fair. If we don't get half, what the heck are we doing this for?
That's
not a nonprofit organization on purpose, guys.
Just recap this. So agree to what the seller wants. Clear intent, take to the market. You get a big deposit, go back and try to split it.
Absolutely. I don't care how big the deposit is. Even if it's much bigger, I'm working on some really expensive stuff down south right now. I expect to get 2, 3, 4 acres, houses down there where we've got to get a $2 million deposit on it. Think about that one. You think I'm not going to get $500,000 out of that? I mean, if we find the buyer, we will.
All right, Jeff Carroll. When doing a 10-year lease on our next deal and buyer wants to close early by a short sale, can that hurt the seller? Do you ever get that objection?
Can it hurt the seller? Yes, it will absolutely reduce the seller's credit score, but in exchange, they get that debt paid off.
Yeah.
So you will not have any objection from that with the seller. Bird in the hand, seller would gladly sign off. Besides, they're signing a statement that they'll cooperate before we even go into the deal.
House is only worth the house is worth. Yeah. Do you need any liable insurance when you are involved in a sandwich lease agreement?
Liability insurance?
Liability.
No. Because you don't own the house. You don't insure a house you don't own. Seller owns the house. And if anything happens to the house, not your liability because you don't own it. But honestly, you've got to make sure that the insurance is on there. We didn't discuss insurance, but if I'm lease optioning a house, I can insure it. I can insure it. I don't own it. But if I'm taking a subject to or buying it with owner financing, then I have to buy a landlord policy because that's what it is. It's now a non-owner occupied house. And then when I buy the landlord policy, I'm going to make my insurance company cancel this existing policy that the seller has on there and replace it with a landlord policy, which is cheaper, incidentally, than the owner occupied.
Which will lower the seller's escrow in year two.
Yeah, in year two. Now, you will have to come out of pocket and pay for that policy for the first year if you're changing policies.
All right, so Mike, when does the seller sign release, and is it done in front of the attorney?
Yes. That's the only place I want the seller to sign the release is in front of the attorney at the time we install in the buyer.
All right, this is from E. In escrow states like California, are you saying to specifically use an attorney?
Yes.
And not an escrow
company? I don't care which state you're in. I want you to use an attorney. I'm okay if you find an attorney within a title company or an escrow company, but I want it in writing that they're representing you, not the escrow company, and your deals.
All right, this is from Craig. How do you explain to a tenant buyer that you have the house under contract but don't own it legally?
How do you explain it, Scott?
I've never had to explain it. really.
Yeah, but you know, all these things are going to go wrong in their head. Yeah. How would you explain it if it did come up?
Well, it's to say we're working with the seller. We have another an agreement, and I've never had someone ask me that. It's just never been an objection.
I'll tell you how to explain it. I have the property under contract on a lease purchase with full rights to sublease it, but my seller will have to approve you, so first you got to get through me, then the seller. However, I can tell you from experience that if I approve you, the seller will most likely approve you. Is that a problem? And guess what? It ain't a problem. What are buyers thinking about? Getting into that beautiful home. That's all they can think about.
All right. So this is from Ron. For Ron. Okay. Good name. How do you handle a property with a tenant?
I don't know what that means. I know with a tenant in it. That's a good question, actually, and those are great deals. If a math makes sense, and they'll give me the property, and there's plenty of equity in it, and the payment's low, I'll have to buy it, and I'll take care of the tenant. Tenants ain't a problem. Many times you can go get deposits from them and turn them into tenant buyers, and I'll tell you, I'd recommend this to you landlords. I'd rather you go directly to your tenants first. You see if they want to buy, because if they don't want to buy, this is moot. But if they do want to buy, and they don't have a deposit, I'd give them the option just to sign them the responsibility for the repairs and get it off your back. Because once you give them the option, that's part of it. And, hey, what do you care? If they buy, they buy. But if they don't, you're a lot better off anyway. So it's not going to cause you any harm to give them the option. And you give them a term. And if you want to help them get cashed out, then you put them with Paul Ritter and get their credit cleaned up and help them get anything fixed that needs fixed and take them right on to the loan process. We're doing a few like that now, aren't we?
That's just from Rick. If the homestead exemption expires and then these sandwich deals, taxes go up, how is that handled in the agreements?
Well, if the seller moves out of the house and puts a tenant in it in Florida, the homestead exemption will not apply next year. That means your taxes are going to go up about $500, so their payment will go up 1/12 of that. So if their payment goes up, and well, if it's an AXE deal, they're making a payment equal to the loan payment that's already covered. It says right in there that their payment will go up or down with the sellers. If it's not, then either the seller's got to eat it or pass it on to the tenant buyer. Any agreement we do, we're not going to let that happen because we're going to make sure the tenant buyer knows that if the payment goes up, the rent goes up.
Yeah, which is in Exhibit A, which we covered in the agreement here. All right, Don White, what is the best way to coordinate all parties involved if the seller still lives in the house?
Meaning you got to know when the seller wants to vacate. Right. How do you handle it?
Well, I think in many cases we have them where the seller lives there.
You got one right now. Exactly. You got a buyer who wants to get in, the seller needs 45 days.
Yeah.
Right.
What we do is this. Number one, it's just a matter of logistics when the seller's moving out. But because we want to get paid, I have a story that I tell every seller and every buyer that when we have an agreement where there's a possession date that may be 30 or 45 days out, we're going to go ahead and close that in the next week or two. Go ahead and have everything signed, sealed, delivered, and then just a matter of handing over the keys. In a couple of weeks. And so I make up a story that we have a 90-day deal one time, and the week before, you know, one party changed their mind, and it just screwed a lot of things up. So now we always close ahead of time. And
every day that goes by that you don't get that money is the day you can't lose that money. You're going to do something else. So you want to get that money. And plus, the seller wants to know that the deal is done.
Absolutely. In this case, sellers are going across the country. So they want that done. So, and of course, if you handle the show. challenged with the sellers living there. And, in some cases, we won't even go to the show as well. The sale show for us.
Actually, most of the buyers that buy a house, the sellers quite often need time to get out before they can move in. It's not anything weird.
So, Lawrence, any issues with the seller if they see a large option deposit when you're signing the agreement back to them?
There could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's large, there could be. Mm-hmm. Yes. Which brings a good point. And it's something you guys need to think about. We've discussed this as well. There are going to be many deals, or some deals at least, where you're going to want to buy the house, say we're buying it with owner financing, and yet we intend to not stay in it. It very well may behoove you to buy the house and pay the closing cost on the house, so that now when you put the tenant buyer in there, your seller is not privy to the amount of money you're going to have the buyer. So if you think your seller's going to stroke out on you because you're collecting a $50,000 deposit, then just buy it first and then resell it, which you have the right to do. And in the case of owner financing, that still doesn't mean I can't sign that agreement back to that seller later. I probably let it age a few months.
Yeah.
And in case of a lease purchase, I do the same thing. But, you know, if I do sign it, the seller sooner or later is going to find out what the buyer paid. But on the other hand, I got to make a case again. Is somebody going to give me a $50,000 deposit or a down payment and move into the house? I might want to stay in it just in case they crap out. Because now I can go resell it again and collect another $50,000.
Yeah. It's a great question. We did have one time where the seller was upset with the money we made. And of course, their logic was, well, geez, if you'd only made a little bit less, we wouldn't have cared. But you made too much. It made no sense. But unfortunately, they saw it the way they did. And that bothered us because we didn't want them to feel like we somehow that they were upset with us. But yeah, it's a very valid question. You know, the deal that we showed up here, we're going to be getting $30,000, and the seller gets none, and it's a free and clear house. You know, we've talked about.
I might stay in it.
We may stay in it until it gets down there.
If you stay in it, the seller will never know.
Never know. Yeah.
Unless the buyer tells them. Good question. The buyer's making you payments. They won't even be in touch with your seller.
All right, it's from Michael Weiss. And, I'm in a trust deed state where title companies close deals. You say sign a firm attorney. Would it be safe to close the
Michael,
title company?
Stop. Every state has title companies, or not every, most of them title companies can close deals. There is no state where attorneys cannot close deals. Get an attorney, sir. Get an attorney. There is no reason not to. They're free. Go get an attorney and make sure it's a real estate attorney.
All right. If I'm in a sandwich lease, I have a $10,000 option fee. The buyer is not ready to close on the option. I sign with the seller for $200,000 mm-hmm. and sign with the buyer for $210,000.
Yeah.
$10,000 for the option fee. So, when buyer ready to close the option, do I now have to sign my buyer's agreement for the $210,000 to the seller because the buyer wants to get a mortgage for $200,000 showing down payment for $10,000?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. You have to do a new agreement for $210,000 showing $10,000 and sign it back to the seller so the buyer can prove the $10,000 down.
Rob Wayne, what are typical fees you pay attorneys for on each closing? Right now we're paying $400.
Doesn't depend on where you live, Rob. California, you're probably going to pay more than $400.
Yeah.
New York, D.C., I don't know. You're going to have to find a good real estate attorney and see what you can get them down to make sure they know that they're not preparing these docs to the degree.
Yeah, the $400 for the lease option, they charge a little more for purchase and sales.
Yes, they should, because on a purchase and sale, they got to prepare the actual land contract or trust deed or wraparound mortgage or whatever it is. We do not prepare those. We only prepare lease option agreements because, you know, we just fill in a few blanks.
Terrence Fernholz, Ron, you've used the term lease purchase and lease option.
Same thing.
In New Jersey, a lease purchase default is a foreclosure action because the leasee has an equitable position, whereas a lease option should be.
That depends on the down payment, sir. Just because it's a lease purchase does not mean it has to be foreclosed on. In any state, usually the number is 20%. Once the buyer pays in about 20%, if they want to, they can kick it over into foreclosure court.
By the way, the last part of that, so the real question for me is, does your agreement allow for separate option agreement? And the answer is yes. In fact, if I may, it's strategically put together where you have the lease, you have the purchase option agreement, and the rider that ties it both together, which does allow for two separate.
That's why they are separated. We didn't cover that. So if you have to evict, you just send the lease agreement to the judge, and keep them separate.
All right. This is from Judith Rosenfeld. Is there a list provider that has an over-leveraged sellers?
Of course. Well, we use LegrandYellowLetters.com.
changes that you like. You know, in our case, you know, when we were doing this sending out a letter maybe years ago, 100 to 400,000 value. The key metric in that was mortgages that were originated somewhere between 04 and 07 that were taken out at the peak values, which would in many cases lend itself to being overloaded. So they came here again.
I got to tell you, if I'm going to choose a list, that's not what I want.
Right.
The money's not made in over-leveraged houses. The money's made in free and clear houses. The more equity that's in a house, the better chance you got of negotiating the deal you want to stay in. So if you're going to do a mailer, mail it free and clear houses, not over-leveraged.
All right, so this is from Nicholas. If I'm assigning a property with an equity, X, is it okay to use the option agreement and the Exhibit A with the fixed price and fixed monthly payment instead of using leverage agreement, the purchase price equals the loan balance at the time of closing?
That depends on the deal. Depends on your deal with the seller. If your deal with the seller is, well, we can make this point. If my deal with the seller is that my loan balance equals my purchase price at the time of closing, and I'm staying in it, I am not going to give my buyer that right. I want that debt paid out. So my buyer will have a fixed payment. But if I'm not staying in it, I have no reason to do that, so I'll assign those rights to my buyer.
All right, so Ernest Diaz, have you ever had a seller not pay the mortgage in a sandwich lease, and how do you avoid this from happening?
I don't know that I have, but I am sure that many have. You avoid this by happening by going to escrowserve.com and insisting that they collect the payments, which helps buyer and seller. And by the way, any lease option agreement will clearly state that if they pay the rent, the seller is obligated by law to make that underlying payment. And if they don't, so the buyer can come in there and make that payment and take it out of what they're owed and literally have legal recourse. Look, there's nothing we can do, guys, to make sure that nothing's ever going to go wrong. Murphy, and all you can do is get the best agreement you can going in, close with an attorney, and then if it goes wrong, you're probably going to come out the victor. You just got to take it piece by piece and day by day and do whatever you can. I tell you one thing, all the crap you think about and you worry about almost never happens.
All right, from Hal Hammond. In regards to the lease agreement, who pays the deductible when there's an insurance claim against the property?
If you're leasing it from the seller, you have nothing to do with that. That's the seller's business. And the seller is responsible to get the property repaired. And worst case, you take your tenant buyer and you move them elsewhere if you have to. But the property does burn and the seller's got a policy on it, then it's going to get fixed. If you've got the policy, then you're in control of it. So that would mean you're paying the deductible, but only if you own the property.
All right, so Scott McClain, how do you assign an agreement that is not signable, paragraph 19, which we covered?
I already covered that.
All right, from David Stooks, that's from Brian. How do we assign a sandwich lease back to a seller if we decide to run out?
Do you understand that question?
How do we assign a sandwich lease back to a seller if we decide to run out? So I assume you put in a contract as a sandwich and decide you want to have
a short lease agreement.
Yes.
And then I find it, and I'd rather just assign that contract. Well, I can always just assign that one to the buyer. Mm-hmm. I don't need to. And then I'll get it signed out to the buyer.
Well, that's something you and I don't know if we differ on this, but if there's a house that's on the cusp, let's say you're not sure you want to stay in the middle of it or not,
yep,
I would put it under an X type agreement with the seller, again, with the clear intent that you're going to take to market and then come back and, you know, put the pen to the paper. So you're never agreeing to make a payment. In a sandwich lease, you're essentially agreeing to make a payment unless you negotiate. You don't start until you find a buyer.
Correct.
But in that case, if you find, you take it to market, you have good terms that you want to stay in, you can very easily convert that X deal to a sandwich. The seller knows you, would be glad to deal with you, as opposed to the buyer that you bring.
As long as you're living. No matter what agreement you use going in, you can change it going out. You guys are making way too much of this. You're just assuming that somehow the seller's going to fight you along the way. You got to remember something. The seller has way more at stake here than you do. You know, it's their debt. It's their deal. It's their house. They're going to cooperate to the cost. How many times have you not had the seller cooperate? And you go back to them and show them, here's what I got. Now we need a different agreement, especially if it's to protect their interest.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Once you get the agreement and once you have this relationship, they'll sign in. That's one other thing that I didn't get to cover here. When you have these houses under contract with the seller, we found that it's very important to communicate with them on a weekly basis.
Until you get a buyer. Yeah.
Until you get a buyer. I don't do it. My sister does it. But that touch every week is very important. It lets them know that you still exist. In fact, I had a student that had a sweet deal, higher price. And so, anyway, he didn't take my advice and didn't talk to his seller for about 7-8 weeks. Well, lo and behold, a $100,000 down buyer shows up. He would have made 50 on it. Called the seller, and the seller said, "Oh, I forgot you were even out there." Well, needless to say, that deal didn't come together.
So they call that a seminar.
Yeah.
And you realtors with a license, you should do the exact same thing. The only reason people get mad at you is because you don't communicate with them.
Yeah.
You communicate with them once a week. You know, this is what happened this week. They probably never have a bad thing to say.
And when you go back to switch the agreement and or negotiate,
yeah,
then you've got this relationship.
Relationship.
So, all right, that's this from Dan Genzel. Role play objections, if you would. Seller hesitation to letting you find a tenant buyer versus having them continue to market on Craigslist.
All right, you be the seller.
Bird in the hand, even though they don't get paid until they get a tenant buyer.
You be the seller. You be the jerk seller.
Okay, so, whatever the heck I said. So, why still want to market it? How do I know that, you know, I don't even know what it said. I'm just the jerk seller.
Your question is, why don't I just go do that myself?
Why just do it myself?
I don't know. Why haven't you?
Well, I've been trying to sell it.
What's stopping you?
Well, nothing. I just haven't found a buyer yet.
I understand. That's probably why I'm here, huh?
Yeah. Might be.
You want to keep doing that, or you want me to take over and get it done?
I'd rather have you do it.
May I point out to you, you have to approve before I put them in.
Okay. Yes, that's good. I'm right to the point. Right to the point.
But understand, I'm not going to sell it if you're going to sell it. So one of us is going to sell it. Which one would you prefer? You want to keep trying it? Well, I got plenty to do. Of course, I got a whole list of funders and people that are looking for houses like this, but if you'd rather do it yourself because you don't want to see me make any money for providing my services, go right at it. I don't care, to be honest with you. Right now, Scott, there's only two people who care whether you sell your house or not. One of them is losing interest rapidly. I don't say that.
That's a good line.
Yes,
but I'll tell you, that's, I don't know how do you, if you're a seller, how do you affect that?
I mean, it's, I don't know, and I don't really care. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Posture.
If they're not ready to go, let's don't go. So you guys keep chasing people that want to make your life miserable. You're always going to have issues. You deal with people who want to deal with you, and those issues go away.
This is from Jason Fuman. How do you work out payments after an axe deal? For example, seller will sell for $205 with $25 down, owes $123 with penny PITI payments of $1,700 with 20 years left on note. Buyer is $30 down, will buy for $205.
I don't understand the question,
that,
but this much I do know, there is no after an axe deal. Because if it's an axe deal, you're out. There's nothing for you to work out. The minute we assign the contract, guys, we're out. We don't collect any payments. We don't know what's going on. We don't care what's going on unless the seller calls us to get back in later because there's an issue.
All right, what do we do with the short sale leads? Do they get referred to agents that pay you a fee?
The short sale leads. And an agent can't pay you a fee. So the answer is quit worrying about short sale leads because most of them are a waste of your time anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of shorts, and we don't really like to mess them here.
I got better things to do than deal with banks who change the rules every other week and make my life miserable. I quit dealing with banks a long time ago.
All right, it says, if you as the transaction engineer putting this axe lease option deal together between owner, seller, and the ultimate tenant buyer, you are not putting any money into the deal. In other words,
nope.
Money is never changing hands
between
you and the owner.
Except maybe a $10 deposit on a purchase and sale agreement.
Then how are you really a principal in the transaction?
Because I have a contract to either buy or lease it.
Okay.
The option. That makes me a principal.
Got it. So in other words, that doesn't money have to change hands between you and the owner?
You have to have consideration. Consideration does not have to be money. It could be love and affection.
I
love you, man. In fact, just the fact that you have a contract is consideration.
That's very important to know. We talked about that this morning in another meeting. In Texas, what is the rule regarding lease options as far as time frame? Is the lease option restricted
to
3-year only?
I'll answer that. Any lease option less than 6 months is totally kicked out of the law, no problems. Any option between 6 months and 3 years, you can do, as we discussed, must own the house to collect a non-refundable deposit. Plus, there's some disclosures you have to put in there. Plus, you should use the proper agreements with the right language in there. Any lease option after 3 years is really going to be considered an installment sale. Although, so what? It's just one of the installment sales that you can do to comply with your 3 per entity to be exempt from Dodd-Frank.
Okay. From Hal Hunter, Axe Deal. Any problem getting buyer out for non-payment?
No, that's on an axe. tax deal, it's not my problem, Al. Remember, when it's axed, I'm out, done, kaput, over. Seller calls me, I will absolutely put him with my attorney because I can't even evict. The seller's got to evict, and then I'll tell the seller, let's get them out and go put somebody else in when they're out. And we'll go do it all over again.
All right, this is from Don. If I own the house with a low loan down,
let me finish on that. Guys, here's something that I know is difficult for you to understand. If you're new at this, somebody comes and gives us $10,000 or $15,000. Almost never do we have to evict them. I can't even remember the last time we did. And here's why. They're not tenants. They're buyers. They think like buyers. They have a financial interest in the house. They have skin in the game. And when they have to move, they know it's not their fault. They're not the kind of people who take it out on the landlord, like your low-end tenants who can barely come up with a deposit. It's an absolute, totally different game when I'm dealing with people who have skin in the game than when I don't. So you need to quit worrying about if I have to evict. Eviction is just another profit center for you. Please get that. Every time somebody moves out, you get to keep their deposit and go get another one. So somebody gives me $15,000 and they want to move out 9 months. Well, okay. When will you be out?
Which is why we don't take the low deposits. We wait for the clients to come in.
I want plenty of skin in the game, and then we don't ever worry about them. If they pay, great. If they don't pay, great. Next, set yourself up so you can't lose. Very hard to lose.
Okay, if I own this is from Don. If I own the house with a low loan balance or free and clear, what is the best way to sell or pros and cons of
I would do it on a lease purchase. Get me a good buyer in there and work them right up to closing if you want to cash out. Get them with Paul Ritter. Let Paul tell you how long it'll take, and then let Paul clean up their credit, and let Paul and you work with them until they get right to the closing table.
All right. Linda Harrison, is it important to stage houses you want to own or finance or rent to own?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I can
When's the last time you staged a house?
Well, we did one that we rehabbed to sell.
Yeah.
As far as lease options.
Here's the reality, guys. You're gonna find tenant buyers and owner financing buyers so fast you don't even need to stage them, nor do you have time to stage them. Now, if I'm going to rehab it, I'm looking for that picky qualified buyer, I'm going to stage the crap out of them. And even that largely depends on what area you're in. I mean, some areas in the country right now, you have 48 hours every time on the market. Why stage it?
Can you do lease option X deals remotely out of your physical geographical area, even several states away?
Can I? Absolutely. Absolutely can. I just need boots on the ground. Somebody needs to be there to take care of the details.
All right. This is from Nicholas. For those situations where the seller is getting a down payment, where should we put the amount of the seller is getting in the option agreement?
The seller is getting a down payment?
Yes.
And we're lease optioning from the seller?
It goes right in the option. Yep.
The next deal. Right in the option. Some place to put it.
All right. This is from Lance Ball. Does the Dodd-Frank rules of the SAFE Act follow the same guidelines as Texas about owner financing and lease purchases?
Yes. Lease purchases aren't in the Dodd-Frank. That's a Texas thing. Dodd-Frank's about owner financing. And the answer is yes, that's federal.
This is from Don. What does the lease rider do? Does it just bind the lease agreement and the purchase option in case we need to evict on the lease or they want their deposit back?
If we're talking the lease rider, are we talking about Exhibit A, Don? If we are, you don't have an agreement without Exhibit A because it's the one that names the terms. Yeah, I don't know whether the lease rider you're talking about.
All right, so Joyce.
We're going to take about two more, and we're going to wind it down here.
All right, this is from Joyce. You may have answered this, but if buyer disagrees to, if seller disagrees to settle for half of the $100,000 down,
right.
Can seller or buyer go around you and do the deal without you?
No. Guys, you can't put somebody in somebody's house without their permission. If you can't come to terms, sad as it is, you're just going to have to move on. Now, look, I got an agreement with that seller that said that, if you remember, they were going to get 75 down. If I don't deliver that 75 down, they don't have to honor that agreement. And so then it's going to be up to you if they push you in a corner. Do I take 25 or nothing? Somehow I think I know what your decision's going to be.
All right, this is from Michael. Is the deposit you collect non-refundable?
Always.
At the buyer's meeting you set up after the Paul, by the way, it's Paul Ritter, R-I-T-T-E-R.
Yeah.
After the Paul Ritter report is back. Deposit you collect non-refundable at the meeting after you got Paul Ritter's report.
It's non-refundable only if I accept them and then they want to back out. It's non-refundable if it's non-refundable unless I decide I don't want them anymore. And then it's refundable. You can't take somebody's money and tell them, I don't want to sell you the house when I'm keeping your money.
All right. Amy Hinder, you collect the $50 application fee from the potential buyer.
No. I don't, nor do I want to. I've told you it's a pain in the neck. It's more trouble than it's worth.
Okay. My understanding is Padlife has callers hold for a time. What's your experience?
For a few seconds, it does not make any difference. And we drive sellers and buyers to Padlife. We've taken the buyer calls ourselves right now. If you're doing a yellow letter campaign, you better darn sure make sure Padlife takes those calls, because most of the people calling will not have a house for sale, and that put them on hold. Our message says, Ron and Bev are out right now. Hold on a second, and we'll be right back to take some information.
All right, so Josh Holiday. Hey, Josh, some people don't have checkbooks anymore. Like me, I have a credit union, a debit card, no checkbook. So would you carry one of those new fangled devices that swipes a debit card?
Nope, we are not swiping cards to take down payments or monthly payments or rent.
I can get a cashier's check.
There's nobody that can't get a cashier's check, or they can wire the money into our account before the meeting. We're not having the meeting and then wiring it. We're going to wire it, then we'll have a meeting. Listen, guys, we don't have a meeting unless we get money or the pledge to get money. I have no interest in working with people who are not willing to make sure I get a deposit to make sure they're serious.
All right, from Tony Profit. How do we handle the non-refundable deposits when the buyer wants to pay off or refinance? Does our non-refundable deposit go towards the payoff?
The non-refundable deposit always goes toward the down payment when they get ready to buy.
Okay, how do we handle the buyer-seller? How do we help the buyer-seller get over their apprehension of providing us their Social Security number?
Well, I don't need to do any of that, frankly. My buyer's going to provide me with their social, or I can't pull their credit report. We're going to have that conversation. Any buyer knows that. The seller, I don't need their social. But if escrowserve.com does, they can get it from them. I don't have to.
Okay. If a person puts $30 down, how much will you take for a fee? They might think the whole 30 is put towards the principal balance. How do you explain
that? We covered all of that. If they want to get refinanced, then we have to lease it to them and assign our lease back to the seller.
All right. Do you have problems setting up arrangements showing a potential buyer of the house when the seller's still in it?
Yeah. We don't show houses. We sometimes send buyers over and make arrangements with the seller. And in that case, guys, somebody in your organization should be there. Do not let a buyer and a seller get together without somebody in your team being there, or you may have issues.
If we do marketing that uses the wording owner financing, do you think it will cause attention to certain people or agencies looking for people who are in violation of Dodd-Frank rules? I heard there are task forces.
I don't know, but I don't care, because I'm not in violation of Dodd-Frank rules. Let them look.
Should we worry?
We're not going to violate Dodd-Frank rules. Probably best if you're going to buy and sell houses, you comply with the law, would be my suggestion. Or you're not going to like this business very much.
Kyle Cook. Hi, Kyle. Are you
hey, Kyle Cook.
You still doing down payment assistance program on lease purchase?
I certainly am. If I'm staying in a deal on an axe deal, I have no reason to, because I'm not getting the money. How many more questions do we have there, John? Just a few more.
Okay. All right. Wouldn't it be a motivator for an owner seller in explaining an axe deal to him or her to be making it a part of the deal she shares in the assignment option fee you collect from your tenant buyer?
What did you just say?
What did you basically?
Can you translate?
I was going to say something different here. Wouldn't it be a motivator? He wants to make it easier to get the seller to sign by giving them part of the deposit. Would it be easier to give them part of the deposit?
Of course, it's a motivator, but why give it to them if they don't want it? If they didn't ask for it. You know, if your question was, may I assume you'll sell with nothing down? And the answer is yes. I don't see any reason to give anything down to you.
No.
Or if you're doing a lease option question and they say, I'm okay with without the deposit. They say, yes, I'm not going to give them the money.
Let them tell you.
That's case by case. You deal with that based on their needs and what you can agree upon. But be very careful, guys. Don't give away the farm here because you think you should. We have this tendency to think for other people. And we're going to let them tell us what they're thinking.
And we've seen it, too, where people will do that.
Many times.
Say, well, we'll just take a $5,000 fee, and anything you get above that, you get yourself in trouble.
Be careful. You don't get diarrhea of the mouth. Remember, always ask them what they're okay with before you go blurting out what you're going to do.
All right. Let's see here. Do you find/market a buyer for a higher-priced house differently than a lower-priced house?
showing. So, if, oh, she doesn't live in the house.
He didn't say.
Okay, if she lives in the house, all you've got to do is handle the balls and let her do the showing. And to decide who you want to put in there for and keep the deposit, she'd probably love you forever.
How do we, as Jeff Carroll, how do we stay compliant with Dodd-Frank when a tenant buyer has a large down payment for a lease purchase or X deal?
That has nothing to do with Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank doesn't mention anything about down payments on lease options. In fact, it doesn't even use the word lease option. I'm going to say it again. Dodd-Frank is about seller financing. Don't confuse the two.
Ron Springer, what if the seller can't deliver clear title on an X deal and the buyer comes after you for the option deposit?
Well, you should be checking the title before you put the buyer in, which is why it says in here to do that. You will never have that problem. However, if you do have the problem, you're going to have to give the deposit back. It's that simple. So make sure you don't ever put yourself in that position. Okay. How many more we got, John? Okay, well, I don't want the older ones. Guys, I mean, we're answering questions here. If you, at the end of your endurance level, I mean, you can take off at any time. I'm going to go ahead and answer as many of these as I can, because I promised we'd answer them after the fact, so I'd rather answer them now, if possible. One more thing, though, if you want to go to ronsplanningsession.com, and I'm going to do 20 of these planning sessions, and that's kind of an experiment I'm doing, see how many people I can help with their next year's plan. And also, get 7 more minutes to get those specials. Wow. So if you're going to go get the special on this, which means you can still get it for $6.97 minus your $1.94, you got 7 minutes left to do it. And that is coming down. All right?
All right, what was the owner financing banner? What size was the owner financing banner?
I'm just guessing.
3x6.
I'd probably do 3x6 if it was me. 4x6 is awfully wide.
Yeah.
3x6.
What percentage of buyers that visit your website will actually fill out your online questionnaire?
That I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either.
No idea.
Where can we buy the blank signs? We buy them from just a local sign company. We get boxes of 25 of them, plain white.
Or you can order them online. There's tons of sign companies online. One of them is banditsigns.com. They can do signs for you. We don't. We just get the blanks and do them by our hand. It's definitely a sign company. If you give them the handwritten, they can make the sign look just like it looks on there, like it was handwritten. But Scott puts the location in the bedrooms and baths, and I never used to do that. When I made the signs, I make them apply to any house generic, but it worked, so I knock it.
All right, let me say one more.
Go ahead.
All right, it's from Nicholas. Agreement with seller. If I am assigning a property with equity, when should we use the Exhibit A that states the balance will be paid down every month? When should we use the other one, purchase price doesn't go down every month?
If I'm going to stay in the deal, I'm not going to use the one that says they get the benefit of the debt pay down. If I'm not going to stay in the deal, I'll give them the benefit of the debt pay down. If I am going to stay in the deal, I will not. It's that simple. Am I staying in or am I? He said I'm going to sign an option. So I'd let them have the benefit of the debt pay down in that case. No reason not to. If you're not getting the money, might as well give it to them.
This is from Delinda Harrelson. Can we do your mentoring program if we haven't been to Quick Start?
You can sign up for our mentoring program. What's the website? Just call our office. Call 800-567-6128, because now you can do the mentoring with the virtual training, so you don't have to go to the Quick Start live, but we're not going to start the mentoring until you've at least gone through that or have listened to the Control Without Ownership course in its entirety, and because we don't want to mentor anybody that can't even speak the same language or know what they were talking about. But our mentors will force you to get deals. Okay, Scott. You should see some of the letters we're getting from people that are being mentored all across the country. It's a rare opportunity. You guys got to have somebody of this caliber working with you one-on-one for 6 months, forcing checks down your throat, keeping you from doing all the stupid stuff you insist on doing. I'm going to get some bad letters today, aren't I?
Yeah. All right, so Brian, in regards to my question about assigning a sandwich lease,
okay,
what would the process be if we...
I'm not assigning a sandwich lease.
Well, it's supposed to be if he changes his mind. Once this sign out of it.
You mean I get a seller to agree on something and then I want to change that later?
Yes, you plan to stay in it, but you decide you don't want
to. All right.
What would the process be if we have a lease option agreement with the seller and we have a property possession lease option agreement with the buyer, stay with you for a few months but decide we want out.
Just to sign your lease between you and the buyer back to the seller and have them negate the 1 year you owe them.
Simple assignment.
Which is what we do anyway most of the time.
Yeah.
Simple assignment form, which is in your book.
Yeah. How do you answer this seller's question? Is this okay with my bank?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to know the rest of the question. Yeah, if there's a lease option, guys, the bank can't call the loan. Do it to move point. If your lease option, if you're taking over the debt subject due, the answer would be no. If they wanted to, they could call it due. They probably won't, but you've got to know they could. So if that's going to keep you awake at night, you shouldn't do it. Because they are going to sign off at closing that they understand the bank can't call the loan due. You need to quit worrying about that because in all my years, all my 700 subject due deals, I haven't seen one call due yet, but probably will call your first one because it's you. And remember, though, you're not at risk. When you take over debt subject to it, it's not showing your credit report, nobody's going to be after you for the debt, and the seller's going to sign off clearly that they understand their risk.
All right, why don't you put a website on the no bank qualifying sign? When they call the number, they'll find out it's not a home mortgage company.
You can, but it's just awfully a lot to say to put on that sign, guys, especially a website, which is they're not going to get just riding by. Honestly, they're going to get to the website by making the call anyway. You tell me, what do they run down the highway with? A pencil to write down a website or a phone that they can make a phone call with? You can do both. Remember, don't crowd that sign too heavy.
How would you determine what the market will bear as far as knowing what numbers to input?
What does that mean?
Well, I assume it means with the seller. Okay, well, what is a willing buyer willing to pay, I guess, is what the market will bear.
Yeah, and we don't know that until we put the property on the market. They call and we say, how much can you put down? How much will you pay per month? What's the most you can pay per month? Then we know what the market will bear. And we give it time to get enough response from the market to make the judgment as to whether we've played the market, which is why we're not going to ever put ourselves in a position to where we got to make a payment because the market didn't respond as fast as we thought it would. That's actually a good question. And if the market doesn't respond, we don't, you know, we just out. Just tell the seller, look, we've tried for the last 60 days. We just cannot find anybody that we'd accept, so we're done.
All right. If I buy with owner financing and plan to sell with lease option, who gets the lease agreement with the buyer, me or my attorney?
You will provide the lease option agreement, the one with the table of contents, to your attorney, and you will fill in the blanks, and your attorney will look at it, make sure it's correct, add all the documents to it, and get your buyer to sign it.
Why do a lot of gurus say to advertise monthly payment?
I don't know. Ask them. I think it's an absolutely foolish thing to do, with one exception. And that is if it's low, because I'm after that qualified buyer, my monthly payment is low, because I'm going to get them a new low-interest loan, then I'd advertise the monthly payment.
Do you have a tenant? Do you have tenant buyers talk to a mortgage broker to get checked out before closing any of these?
Nope. We don't even use a mortgage broker. No need for one. Now, if we're actually getting somebody a new loan, we use a mortgage originator, or we might even just go to the loan processor within the bank, but we have somebody to process his loans, but they're actually a loan originator today, and that's all they do.
And Paul Ritter really serves a big purpose there.
Paul Ritter will do most of the work that a mortgage broker would normally do.
All right, in Texas, can we sell on a sandwich lease that, if we buy a loan of financing?
Well, then you're not selling on a sandwich lease. If you're buying with owner financing, you can, in fact, lease purchase it out to your tenant buyer and collect the non-refundable deposit. Only to use the correct Texas agreements and you understand what needs to go in them. Again, May 8th, we'll do a webinar on that. The Texas expert.
Is there an issue with having your attorney or your title company agent given POA for signing docs and checks?
What that means is a power of attorney, POA, and that cannot be used for many of the things you need. For example, you cannot transfer a title to a property with a POA in any state that I know of. And so your attorney doesn't need a POA. And honestly, we don't even use them. You've got to get the seller to sign or the buyer to sign. I wouldn't want a POA. I wouldn't want to sign for somebody else. They can always come back and say later, I didn't give you permission or I didn't understand what I signed.
This is, how do we pre-screen the tenant buyer?
I already went through that. So the answer is you get this course and learn it again in there, or you come to my four-day training where we spend some more time on it, and you use screenthetenant.com, and they'll do all the front-end work, but somebody still has to make decision whether they want to buy it or not. Again, to us, we want money. If we don't get a big chunk of money, they're screened out.
Can you use the title company that the seller uses to check the title of the seller's house?
Can I use the title company that the seller uses? I can't imagine why I'd want to do that. You've got to build a relationship with your title company, and they're going to give you some kind of a fee. Why would you want to go to the seller's title company? I don't. Boy, these questions, huh?
What if we do a title search and later, after we put a buyer in, the seller has an additional lien?
Then it becomes the seller's problem, and buyer has recourse against the seller. And any agreement will make that the seller's concern.
Do you need
buyer sue seller?
Do you need title insurance if you buy subject to?
No.
What company do you use for title search?
That's frankly different than ever. You got to find one in your area, no matter who I use.
What do we pay our attorney to do the paperwork for?
$100.
Will Axe work on vacation properties?
Yes. Axe will work on anything. Axe will work on commercial property. Axe will work on your car. It will work on anything that you can get terms to buy, so you can transfer those to somebody who wants to buy on terms.
With the discounted price paid in full, does it include the custom LLC for business?
We're going to get you an LLC in your state. You're going to have to fill in the blanks on what's that, you know, who's going to be the officers and the members and all of that.
How can you say to the seller owner in response to the, quote, trust question that you are not leasing the owner's house? Isn't that what you are doing when you exercise the lease option between you and the seller owner?
What?
Maybe it's me. I don't understand that question.
I don't understand the question either. Oh, I think she's referring to the acts. Remember, I only give the answer that I'm not the one leasing if the seller's already been told I'm going to go find a tenant buyer that I approve, then you approve, and put them in the house and assign them my contract to them. In that case, it's pretty obvious the seller, I'm not the one making the payment, so they don't have to trust me.
Okay, can you buy and sell and do lease options via Roth IRA?
Absolutely. We didn't even touch on that today. We can do anything we discussed here today via your Roth IRA, and probably should, because it's the last tax-free vehicle we've got available to us to go out and make all those tons of money and not pay the government any taxes yet. Tell you right now, it's going to change. They're coming. So if I were you, I'd load them up, man. Load that IRA up before the government decides they want to collect taxes on other money they're not collecting it on. So we're going to take two more, and we're done. So maybe two more.
I really like the acts and how it works. I understand about employing VAs, but feel uncomfortable constructing my own deal in the beginning. Will someone on your team help us in the beginning?
We will if you subscribe to our mentor service, and we also have the hotline. If you register for the boot camp package that I gave you a while ago, you can use the hotline after you attend the boot camp. But until then, you got me. Forget and remember, for the next 90 days, Mayor Scott, with that certificate that I showed you, that is available to everybody who registers today. Incidentally, you're not going to get this after today. So if you want to get in, you better get registered right now for that boot camp. And then you got me to work with for 90 days and then hotline thereafter. But again, you may want a mentor. You come to the training and you don't know what all of that is. And if you want to get a mentor then you've got somebody by your side every day till you start popping checks in for a whole 6 months.
All right, last question. If we hire your VAs, do they locate leads or do we have to provide them?
Both.
And they just call
both.
Them? All right.
One more.
Does the tenant buyer pay for renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance? Does the seller owner of the axe deal still pay for home insurance?
Tenant buyer pays for renter insurance if they want to. I don't care if they do or not, because all that covers is their contents. If the owner of the house is the only one that can insure the house, so if you own it, you're buying a policy. If you're leasing it, the seller's buying the policy. All right? Well, guys, listen, we are at the end of our term today. I'm going to try to get all the rest of these questions answered that I haven't already answered. I'm going to tell you, if I've already answered them, I'm not going to respond, so they'll get upset. And if we haven't answered them, we'll get the answers to you in the next day or so. So it's been fun. Scott and I have enjoyed it. I mean, we could have been working today. Instead, we've been sharing a day here with you. And I hope you got a lot out of it. Again, we're going to be doing live trainings throughout the rest of the year. Don't forget to get the course for the price that you've just been offered to it. You've got until actually 5 o'clock to do that. Don't forget to go to ronsplanningsession.com, and let's get together and chat about your future. So with that said, Thank you so much for watching. I hope to see you very soon in a live classroom. Thank you, sir.